This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It is 7:37 in the morning. The latest news from the Brexit situation in the UK will see an absolute deadline for talks with the EU to be set late on Sunday or early Monday. According to sources, negotiations have been difficult so far, both sides say. Now, in terms of key developments, Theresa May's, if her deal is rejected next Tuesday, officials won't head back to Brussels to seek more confessions, again, according to sources.
Yes, and the government is braced for a flurry of amendments next week as lawmakers try to force their own alternative Brexit plan. And lawmakers are stepping up efforts for a second referendum. May could be going to Brussels at the weekend to wrap up talks. So
to help us make sense of all this is Professor Simon Tormey. He's a professor at politics at the University of Sydney. Professor Simon, Professor Tormey, thank you for joining us. Do you think, in your opinion, we will see an extension to the Brexit deadline?
Well, we've got a couple of steps to go first. I mean, obviously, there's the parliamentary vote next week on the 12th of March. We're all expecting that to not get up. So then the options for Theresa May is really to try and fiddle along until you get to the 29th. But House of Commons has already indicated it doesn't really want to get to the cliff edge. So I think it's very likely that she'll be asking for an extension from the EU, probably for 3 months. But, you know, there's a chance that they might need a longer extension than that.
Professor Tormey, there has been talk of the Norway model. Can the UK replicate the Norway model?
Well, you're right. There are elements in the House of Commons who like that model. The problem with Norway is that there's probably a lot more people who are very much critical of the idea of being what's called a rule taker as opposed to a rule maker. So the Norway model is that basically what Norway has done is to appease its own population, which has not, which has voted against joining the EU, is to stay outside the institutions but be within the single market. But that at the same time means you have to pay into the European Union and you also have to accept the rules of the single market. And I think for British sensibility, we know that Brexit was about sovereignty and about regaining control and all those kind of things. I just don't think there is enough traction there for it to be more than a minority opinion in the House of Commons.
Professor, with all this intransigence about these discussions on Brexit going on and with the imminent departure sooner or later of the UK, what does this mean for the EU as an economic bloc, given especially what Professor Draghi, in fact, Mario Draghi has turned in terms of casting down GDP for the coming year?
Yeah, I mean, the European Union is in quite a lot of trouble at the moment, and the Brexit thing is really a very unwanted issue that they need to get out of the way if they can. I mean, to me, I don't think it's a done deal that Britain leaves yet. I think there are all sorts of scenarios where actually it either falls over or there's a second referendum and so on. So I'm not very sanguine about this thing happening either sooner or later. I think there's still a lot of open question marks. But the key point about the European Union is that, of course, it's very unloved by the European populations. We've just had the Italian general election, which elected two anti-EU parties. We've got problems in Poland and in Hungary. We've got populist forces in France which want to reform or get rid of the European Union as well. So these are very, very tough times, and it's certainly not being helped at all that the economic base of Europe at the moment looks quite weak as well. Germany going into recession, Italy kind of reflating its economy with bond deals and so on. I think it's it's going to be a very tough year, this one.
You know, based on what you have just said earlier, so on the broad scheme of things, is that the biggest problem or is Brexit the biggest problem for the EU? And perhaps you could elaborate more.
Well, I think Brexit has actually served to galvanize European leaders a little bit. I think the fact that Brexit is so difficult to get over the line, that it's been a major period of hiatus for the last 2.5 years, and that really companies are beginning to desert the UK. They're losing Nissan and Honda. Many of the Asian companies are retrenching either back to the Asia Pacific and so on. I think that's actually served the EU quite well to show how difficult it is actually to extricate yourself from the EU. So actually, if you look at the kind of balance of arguments here, probably the EU's done quite well out of Brexit, and it certainly served as a warning to the other 27 member countries not to follow the same path.
Professor Tommy, I'm not sure whether you can give us a real gauge of the sentiment at the ground level, given where you are sitting down under. But is there a lot of rumination happening within the UK populace in terms of whether they made the right decision to leave the EU? And I know you said you're not sanguine about the departure, but is there even the remotest possibility of the UK staying in the union?
Oh, I think it's more than a remote possibility. I mean, what we've noticed over the up till about Christmas, the public opinion was actually very, very solid. So we had that 47-48% of the population that was very adamant that it wanted to leave the European Union. That has been on the move now quite consistently in the recent polls, the last 3 or 4 months. People are beginning to sort of get the fact that economically it's pretty disastrous for the UK to leave the European Union. And even people like James Dyson, one of the best-known British entrepreneurs, pulling out of the EU, moving to Singapore, other people moving to the Asia-Pacific. You know, the cows are beginning to come home here, and the light bulbs are going on in heads that this is not particularly good news economically for the UK. So, I think this is translating through to representatives in the House of Commons. They're beginning to feel that actually the country's on the turn a little bit here. And this is causing a little bit of panic amongst Brexiteers. They're unable to get their deal over the line, either in the form of the Theresa May withdrawal agreement or in the form of a sort of harder Brexit. So these are really kind of frantic times. The mood is dark. It's a political crisis of a kind that we've not seen in the UK really in contemporary history. So, you know, but hopefully by this time next week, we'll have a little bit more clarity about the line of direction.
Professor Tommy, to keep you on the line for a little bit longer, what do policymakers do? How does business position themselves for whatever outcome that comes out of Brexit? Because business still goes on, investment still goes on. People who do business over there still have businesses over there and vice versa. What do we do from a business perspective?
Well, business people are very, very pragmatic creatures. As we know, what they're looking for is certainty. And this is the big problem with Brexit, is it's created a climate of uncertainty around the pound, around investment, around the labour market, about future relationships with the EU and so on, about whether they're going to go to the WTO and have all these tariffs apply to goods going in and out and so on. So I just think here it's particularly relevant for large transnational companies. So big banks from the US, big supply chain dependent car industry, pharmaceuticals and so on. These are the companies which are really scratching their heads. And those of your listeners who kind of read the Financial Times will know that, you know, the last sort of 6 months, 1 year, there's been an awful lot of movement out of the UK or investment not happening in the UK. Consumer sentiment is very poor in the UK at the moment. I mean, the kind of survivors are going to be the small and medium enterprises, it seemed to me, which, like some of the advantages of the UK, a very strong, creative population, 145 universities churning out, you know, excellent graduates, and lots of skills there in IT and in high tech and in the kind of creative industries and so on. So there is a kind of balancing act going on. The city seems to have got enough deals with the EU for there not to be an implosion in financial institutions in the city. But I do think, you know, the big hit is on the supply chain dependent parts of the economy. And just the car industry, to give you one illustration, employs directly or indirectly 860,000 people. So when the car manufacturers leave because they can't get their goods going backwards and forwards, you really have big macroeconomic problems there.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I look forward to our next chat. That was Professor Simon Tormey, Professor of Politics at the University of Sydney. We come back with Malaysian politics after this. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.